हरि ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Sri Krishna Sandarbha Adhikarana 5, Adhyaya 5, Adhikarana 1, defining the Prakat and Aprakat pastimes. Page 5, Anucheda 153. According to Shruti, Puranas, and other scriptures, it has been shown that Krishna is eternal. His abodes, such as Dwarka, are eternal, and his associates, like the Yadus, are eternal. Thus, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam has been proven. There is the following doubt. Quote, if the form of Bhagavan called Krishna eternally plays with associates in these abodes, why does Bhagavatam say that by the prayers of Brahma, Narayana appeared in the world? If Narayana had entered into Krishna, why, avoiding Swayam Bhagavan, who resides eternally in Dwarka, Mathura, and Gokula, the devatas went to Narayana to make the request? And why did Krishna successively give up Mathura for Gokula, Gokula for Mathura, and Mathura for Dwarka, and then ascend to Vaikuntha? Right? Because when you're dealing with the logical kind of aspects, people are going to look at those things. They can't understand the simultaneous one and difference. So that's the weakness of the logic, is it doesn't have the capacity to deal with two things at once. It's just there's this and there's that, because it's just dealing with facts. Right? And so as we see is that when we're dealing with the whole process of the unfolding of activities in that, we see that there is knowledge of a situation. The situation has its nature, and there's a natural, a natural ability of each item in the field, right? Then you're going to have the aspect, okay, well, what's the relationship between those aspects that are going to be done? What are the qualities and characteristics? What is the action that will be performed, right? Then from that, you can get a particular result, right? And so that combination, you know, of Sankarshan, Prajumna, Aniruddha, then you can apply that together. Because with those three, that's Sambandhagyan. So if someone only has knowledge of the, knowledge of the field, or they perform activities, or they know what result they want to get, they don't know all three, then Abhideya won't be complete. Because Abhideya means what's the reality, what's this actually for. So there's no such thing as something just exists, and that's it. Well, why does it exist? No, it just exists. Oh yeah, the action is performed, but why is action performed? What result? No, we're just doing action. A result is there. And so you want a result in all that. So then what action are you going to perform? Oh, it doesn't matter. You can do any result, any action you want, and you'll get the same result. Right? So you can see is that unless you know all three and see the connection between them, you cannot apply them. Right? Then only you get the result you want. So that thing of all of them together, right, then it can be the application. So that's the problem that comes up when you're dealing with these things. They can only see this or this or this. They can't see two things at once. Right? Does that make sense? Because that's what the logic is, right? A equals B, B equals C, therefore C equals A. But they're not thinking A equals B, B equals C, so A, B, and C all have that thing. No, they're just seeing that logical line. So?
Yeah, it's an interesting system because they have to bring distorted, I don't know how to call it, a distorted object or whatever it is,
right,
to prove their argument, but then the argument is based on negation of distorted object. Because if you bring Krishna in context of anything, then everything makes sense.
Yes, yes.
But the logic is based in the ultimate stage.
Right.
By saying, no, the third object was brought in as a temporary thing, but now we don't need it. Like you explained ABC, that's a very vivid example.
Yes. Yes. Because because logic is trying to make sense out of all these different aspects we see in the world, the details we see in the world, and the differences that we see in the world, and why things work, all the different things, why, what, where, how, who, when, all these things we want to know. But the actual point that will make reconcile all that is Krishna, because it's all Him, it's all coming from Him. But rejecting that, then they think, no, mechanically we have to be able to prove it, So that's not just like, let's say, you have that aspect of I think it was Newton. I don't know who the other person was, but I think it was Newton. He had made kind of like a model of the planetary system, and then he had a good friend who came over, also intellectual and this and that. But I think he happened to be a bit of an atheist. I think Newton tended to be more, at the time of whatever a theist was, they believe in God but don't really believe that he's so much controlling and all that. But in any case, the friend comes in, sees this model, and then thinks, wow, this is the most amazing model. Who made this? Because Newton never mentioned to him about it. He just came over one day and saw it. And he says, no, nobody made it. It just happened on its own. And then he said, what do you mean? Nothing happens on its own. There has to be this, that, otherwise how does this go? No, it just happened on its own. He kept going until the guy was like in a frenzy. And then at some point he says, okay, now, just as you're saying, no, this has to be created by someone, why would the original have not been created by someone? To make this little dinky model, it takes intelligence to put it, why would you say the whole universe is going on its own? We simply made a model of it, that happened by chance. But the other thing is, no, I have to explain it without the thing that reconciles. Or somebody makes a new invention, but we're not going to ask the guy who made it how it works, what it's for. No, we're going to figure it out by our own intelligence. That's real. If we ask him, that's bogus. So this is the basis of the whole modern academy. So you can see, it's not an intellectual. They apply intellectual process on a totally unlogical foundation. Then, yes?
Can we say that person needs Shraddha to be able to understand the logic of the Shastra, and that's why, for example, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, they would say, if you don't understand like the theme about the Jiva, whatever, you just leave it.
Right.
Because it's not the matter of logic, it's the matter of faith.
Yes.
And then it becomes revealed, and then it reveals.
Yes. Because if Krishna reveals how he's connected to it, it makes sense. Because without Krishna, nothing makes sense. We simply go, look at this rug in that. Yes, but the rug, it's made out of this kind of dye and this kind of wool, and they tied this kind of knot and everything. And there's 9,073 knots in the whole thing, and they used 125 grams of this indigo, and they used this of this and this of that. And then, having said all that, then everybody goes, oh yes, now we know what the rug is. No, the rug's for sitting down, and the guy made it. How did he do the design? Where did that come from? All this and that. Oh no, but there was this in the past, and they did this, and then they take from the nature and this and that, and then they apply it, and then with time they suffice. They just go on like this forever. They'll never acknowledge what is the actual basis. So this is the problem, is they apply their so-called intelligence, yes, but they only are looking at what are the facts. So they're taking the gyan part of gyana kriya icha, But they have no idea what's going on. You know, it's just like he's saying, you're eating this sandwich. Oh, this is so good. So you're explaining what are all the things, the chemical compounds and that and this and that. And then on the tongue, there's this and that. And then how you perceive. And then as a kid, this was this. And therefore, and that's why it tastes good. And supposedly you're supposed to be satisfied. You know, so the difficulty is they take the field of jnana, which is the facts, and then say by this one, we will know everything. When it's actually, no, that's just the field. Then what's the relationship between the field? That they have no idea. Certain things that they have an interest, they start to notice a pattern. But the idea that there's a particular attitude, some of the success gurus get into an attitude. I mean, they all get into an attitude. But whether the attitude is a correct one for the situation, or it's just simply puffing up your ego so that you feel good. Because if your ego's strong, you feel good. So even if you can't do anything, you feel good. Right? You know, like someone who's, let's say, foolish, but he has a big ego. He feels everything he does is right and everybody else is wrong. Even though you can see mechanically, nothing functions. You know, or you have the thing is, oh yes, it's just a goal and we have their plans and we have this and that and so therefore it's all accomplished. They feel good. So I have facts, I feel good. You know, I deal with emotions and relationships, I feel good. I have goals, I feel good. But unless you combine the three, then how will it work? Right? And then when you combine them, it's not just, okay, those are three. Those three have to be seen in the context of Vasudeva. Because if they're not seen in that context, then you don't actually know what they're for. Right? Because Mother Jashoda will do something and get a result. Right? She cooks the meal and she gets the result. She wanted to cook 20 preparations. She has 20 preparations. We have a song about those preparations. Right? So that means, and how did that happen? She cooked. So she took the ingredients, she knew the relationships between them, she had that, you know, that proper attitude on everything, you know, not to, how you say, you can't use the American aphorism, if a little is good, more is better. Have you ever heard of that one?
Yeah, well,
That's like, you could say, America, you know, in one sutra.
In a nutshell.
Yes.
Also in USSR, we had the same formula because it was a Cold War and stuff.
Okay.
I guess, I don't
know. Okay.
I don't know the origin. So the USSR slogan was better do little, but better.
Okay.
So it's an opposite.
Yes. And that's why then there's such a problem because each have their own formula of it. Yeah. So it's just, you know, it's just, you just overwhelm, you know. And it's used in everything. Whatever you do, you overdo it, you know. Like that. But it has its advantages. You know, just like the other you're saying, you know, you just do only exact and like that and but do it very well. That also has its advantages. So you have the when one appreciates that, okay, Mother Jashoda got the result, but was the result that she has 20 preparations? That was the prayojana? Right? But I take a field, I understand the relationships of the field, I understand the nature of those individual items of the field and their relationship. I combine them, and then I get a result. That's Sankarshan Prajumana Nadi Ruda. You know, because otherwise, then why is it, this is always the confusing thing, why is it that's Sambandha Gyan, all three of those. Then you have Vasudeva's Abhideya, and then there's a Prayojana. So the Aniruddha is the lord of that thing, but that's why those things can switch around. Because actually Prayojana is pleasing Krishna. Abhideya is performing the action to please Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? On those, it's fixed. But you see in the other, that, you know, Prajumna will stay in the middle, you know, the intelligence, the action. But the field and this, these can be switched depending upon how you're looking at it. So, does that make sense? Yeah. So then, that means that the prayojana is Krishna's pleasure, not the 20 preparations. right? But the attitude that was applied was, this field, I can do some nice things to please Krishna. I can do this, combine them in this way to get results to please Krishna. Therefore, that Abhideya being done in bhakti then gives a result in bhakti and gives prema. Yes?
But that's vainly preparation. In the sense also prayojana as an achievement.
Yes, yes, that's what I'm saying. In Shankar-Shankar-Jumna Aniruddha, in Sambandha Gyan, it is an achievement. It is a result. But the ultimate result, why get any result, is to please Krishna. Does that make sense? So that can be a problem when you only look at the mechanics. Like, you know, we look at nowadays it's very much appreciated to look at how to deal with the field. You know, in other words, what's the field, what's the goal, what's the process, and that. You know, it means that's your... The only one that really defines all of it together is strategic planning. Everybody else focuses on one or the other or two, but generally very few put them all. They'll acknowledge all three, but they don't put any emphasis. They only emphasize a certain. Does that make sense? Like, say, if you have a goal-oriented management system, that means the people already know the field and are already working hard, but they have so many, they have so much that they want to get done. They have 10 things they want to get done, so they can't get any of them done because you can't do all of them at once. So goal-oriented means that you see your goal and you prioritize. So of those goals, okay, you have 10 goals, but which one needs to be done first? Or even though maybe it's not the one to be done first, but it's the one you have the facility for. You don't have facility for the other, so you do this. So they're already taking it for granted. Goal orientation will only work on people who are already intelligent, analytical, and dynamic. It will not work for other people. You understand? It's meant for them. The guy who thought it up was like that. The guy he presents it to is like that. The people say this is fabulous are like that. But now you take the other end of the scale. You know, the rich dad, poor dad? That's for people who have no confidence. Means the first group, they're confident. They can get anything done. They have goals. They just can't. It's just too many. It's like, you know, at Los Angeles, rush hour, you know. You know, nothing moves. So these guys are then don't have any confidence. It doesn't mean that they don't have intelligence and they don't have ability and they don't have a goal. They just don't have confidence. But as soon as you get the confidence up, they don't talk about how you're going to get the goal and what your goal is. They just get you, I know, you can do, you know, like this and that. You know, therefore, that, the law of attraction, you just think about it, it'll come to you and this and that. So if it's going to do anything, means you're going to work. They don't talk about you got to work. People just say, no, you just think about it, it'll happen. No, it won't. Until you do something, it won't happen. I think about lunch and just I'll keep thinking and then lunch will show up? No, I think about lunch and then thinking, feeling, willing. And then when I get to the point of willing, then there's action. But before I said, oh, I can't think, I can't do anything. No, you can do, you just like that. It just... You know, so they take some part of the thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, systems. You know, okay, so we have the thing in the middle, what we're going to do and all this and that. And it's all about the system. What's the goal? What are you going to do with it? So it's taking for granted the other two, if they're going to work. Right? But someone who's sentimental and just wants a goal and gets inspired for a goal, he'll become inspired by the goal orientation, but he won't get anything. Or his ego is less, so he'll be inspired by, you know, yes, you can do things, you can do, yeah, it's just like that, you know. Like that, he'll be inspired, or nothing will happen. Systems, yeah, we got the system, we got all the things, I got on my computer, I got the things, we had the meeting, and nothing happens. Because they don't consider the other two. So that's the reason that there'll be 50 different approaches, because no one explains all three. And these things come and go. You know, they're big for a thing, then they disappear. Then they come up, then they disappear. But something like strategic planning, that's been around 200 years and is still being used today. Right? Because it deals with all three.
2000.
Hmm?
2000.
2000.
Yeah, he's the Chinese guy.
Oh, he's doing that.
He was the one. The Art of War is 2,000 years old.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Sun Tzu, yes. Yes, 2,000 years old. You know, it's still going on. It's still being used today. Because he puts all three. But what's the common point between, you know, Sun Tzu and Machiavelli and all these other guys is that it's material. Because they're not including Vasudeva. See, they're comfortable with Sankara Sampradaya Aniruddha without Vasudeva. Right? They don't want it's not about Vasudeva. It's not about pleasing him. It's about themselves. So that's the thing, is that the devotee then applies that system. So if we just look at the system, yeah, we got the system, but unless you focus on that it's about pleasing Krishna, you may miss the point. You're a devotee, you're doing things for Krishna, so some point of it definitely you're going to do about Krishna. You may later on think about the result, how it got for Krishna, but how much is it bringing about the meditation that it's all about Krishna? You can say, no, but we're being practical. Is that what Mother Jashoda is doing? Now, you have to say she's practical. 100 stoves cooking at once. Bring me the person anywhere on the planet that can cook on 100 stoves at once. You know, I guarantee you, there's a good chance you're not going to find 100 stoves at once. That's skill. That's knowledge. Right? When they come in the morning from Yavat, the first thing they do is light all 100 stoves. That's, you know, because without the fire, how do you cook? So the first job is light all the fires. Then they're going to cook. Right? So, and so during that whole time, she's just thinking, gets all that, you know, but, well, you know, Krishna might like this and that. Hey, don't bother me now. We're being practical here. We're just getting things done. And only at the very end, then, okay, we got breakfast, and okay, you better, you know, guys, out there, you see the technique I used and this and that. That's what's going on? Is that what's happening at breakfast? Right? Nanda and his brothers and Krishna and Balaram and a few of the cowherd boys, Madhu Mangal and Sridham, Sudham, they're all sitting there and they're all just talking about the technique and appreciating, oh, Mother Yashoda worked so hard here and everything like that. And, you know, is that what's going on? Yeah. So the thing is that it's all about, she's doing that out of affection for Krishna. So it was out of affection for Krishna, Mother Yashoda put Krishna down and went and took the, you know, took care of the pot of milk that was boiling over. It wasn't because the pot of milk's boiling over. It's because that was special milk for Krishna. His favorite cow, the milk from that, then that's why it was to be done. So it was, he puts Krishna down to please Krishna. It wasn't just mechanics. So, therefore, if we put a focus simply on mechanics, we will miss the point. You know, as devotees, of course, we're going to catch here and there, but we're not going to, you know, unless we acknowledge that Mother Yashoda, Nanda Baba, and that, the places run perfectly. We never hear of managerial disasters going on in Dwarka, in Mathura, or in Braj. Do we ever hear that there's some, you know, managerial, you know, problem and they all have to have a meeting and get together? No, never. All the problems come from outside. And who are the ones making the outside? They're all materialists. So they run everything perfect for Krishna. You know, you even see when they move from Gokula to Vrindavan, you know, the cow, they got all the cows and bulls in front, and they have the cowherd men with bows and arrows. And that's surrounding all the cows and everybody like that. Then they have all the ladies and the children on the carts and all their stuff. And then all the men are walking. And it's all perfectly organized. You know, it's all perfectly organized. So it wasn't that, you know, oh, no, we have to have a meeting like that. It just says, hey, okay, let's do it. And then, bang, the next thing you know that they're moving out. So that means they organized it, but it's all about Krishna. They're going in the carts, they're singing about Krishna. Everything's about Krishna. Something goes wrong. They see a new disaster, they think of Krishna. So that's the central point, is Vasudeva is the central point. So Sankarjan, Parjumna, and Aniruddha are simply servants of Vasudeva. And since they control, means Sankarjan, Parjumna, and Aniruddha, they are the Paramatmas. They control the energies. Right? So Sankarshan controls all of them, but he expands his Prajumna and Aniruddha to take care of those particular details. Therefore, it's Sankarshana Shakti, the Kriya Shakti. It's known as that. He takes care. He manages everything. He is the manager. Everything goes on. Is that okay?
It's interesting that you mentioned that he is the manager, but it appears that he is like really calm.
Yeah.
He doesn't do much then because his energies and even his like between Purusha avatars, he's not doing much.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because by his desire, everything happens.
Yeah.
But what's Balaram's desire? To please Krishna. What means Kiradakshai Vishnu is paramount for all the living entities to please Garbhadakshai Vishnu, who's paramatma of the universe. Garbhadakshai Vishnu is that to please Karanadakshai Vishnu is paramatma of the material manifestation. And Sankarsana, he's simply trying to please, Karanadakshai is pleasing Sankarsana. Sankarshan is just trying to please Krishna. So, as the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead, therefore, then he does everything. So, therefore, the Ichakriya Jnana still work in the same position because you have the Satkaryavad. Just as Krishna is Ichakriya Jnana, it's his desire. So, therefore, Sankarshan is the Lord of Kriya, therefore, he manages it just to please Krishna. Yes?
Who's the Lord of Jnana?
Vasudev. Or Mahanarayan, like that. That's why you see also the three Prabhus. Lord Chaitanya, Krishna, Balaram, and Mahavishnu. Of that aspect there. And so therefore you have Ichakriya again. Then it's complete. And then you have the energy, Swarup Shakti, and the Jiva. Because the shadow of the Sukshakti is the material energy. So that's included there. And then the Jiva. So Panchatattva, you have the complete delineation. So, but you see is that even though, and the fun part is for the pastimes, is that Balaram is senior to Krishna. And Vasudeva will be senior to Balaram. So therefore, Advaitacharya is the eldest. He's the senior most, but you see, he serves Balaram. He's glorifying Balaram. Means as Nityananda Prabhu. And Nityananda Prabhu, he's the senior, but he's serving Lord Chaitanya. So therefore you have the simultaneous is you have the goal, which is just means I take a field, I understanding with that knowledge of the field. Then I, manipulate that field, or whatever, there's a better word, then I get a particular result. So then I can see Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana there. But what's the actual purpose of that whole process? That's why Krishna is the ultimate goal, because everything you do has a goal. But what's the ultimate goal? It's therefore to please Krishna. Because I can do that without Vasudeva. Otherwise, how are materialists successful? Because they function without Vasudeva. But that means Sankarshan, Prajumna, Aniruddha, those things are in place. The person who's more successful understands these three better. Maybe they understand they can articulate, maybe they can't, but just by Krishna's mercy, they deal properly. So anybody who is successful is working with these three. And people who are not successful, they're not. It's a simple formula. Like if you put water in your glass, you have water in your glass. You don't put water in your glass, you don't have water in your glass. You can't say, oh, but why are you so strong on that point? The person feels like he has water in the glass, and now why aren't you acknowledging, his feelings and his need? No, there's no water in the glass. So you can say all you want, yeah, it's great like that. But then when the guy's thirsty and there's no water in the glass and he dehydrates and dies, then... how were you so support? How is your support real? How did you care for the individual?
You can come to his funeral.
Yeah. But at that funeral, no one could cry because he died of dehydration. So we don't want to show any water. Yeah. So, and then afterwards, the meal will be trouble because there'll only be things to eat and nothing to drink. You know. Yeah. So, therefore, then that pancharatric aspect where they have Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Adi Buddha, Samanda, Abhideya, and Prayojana, then Vasudeva is all three together as the actual Abhideya. Because real Abhideya is when it's in context of the Lord and His name, form, qualities, and pastimes. Then you get the result, which is then love of God. Somebody feels? So this whole thing of putting so much emphasis on the processes that are there, but without Vasudeva, you know, just using the term we're being practical. But the point is yes, if you're getting work done, you're getting results now, but in the long term, how is the Krishna consciousness going?
I think the materialists, not that they don't, those who advance, not that they don't understand Vasudeva, they just misplace, they put themselves.
Yes, of course.
So then, the position is there, mm-hmm. but it's a wrong person in that position.
Yes, it's like the Pandrika process of
Pandrika. Yes,
yes, that was his exactly. That was his
strategy.
His strategy. Yes. Yes. No. Of course, that's there. Because otherwise, why is it working? Because those are just sambandhivyan. So therefore, there has to be an abhideya and prayojana. But their abhideya isn't actually complete because they're not the ultimate. You know, it's they don't provide the ingredients. They don't provide it. So it should be in line with whoever's providing the stuff. You know, it's just like, let's say, you go to someone's house and they're providing, you know, and then you're having a program. And so everybody's cooking and everybody's doing different things to different friends. But still, the person whose house it is, who's given the facilities, who's given all the ingredients, and who's given the, you know, yeah, go for it and provides whatever you want to do, they still have to be given some special recognition. No? Yeah, I mean, it's just, that's the way it goes. So, you know, they expected that they should get recognition, but they won't give to God. You know, that may be an underlying element, like why someone like Einstein or Newton, I mean, they're there, but they're not so prominent because they were theistic. They thought, you know, God gives the intelligence. It's God's creation. You know, what is, I think it was, I don't know, was it Oppenheimer? Somebody when they did the first test of the atomic bomb, you know, that whole crew they were working on it, when they did the first test, when he saw that, he quoted the Bhagavad Gita verse.
Really?
Yeah.
Which one?
Time, or you know, just about how he's the power, something like that.
Destroyer of everything.
Yeah, destroyer of everything. He just quoted it. It's in the Sanskrit. He just said the Sanskrit. Wow. Germans, you know, they studied these things. So, you know, that's the thing, is that they kind of knew, is they're dealing with bigger stuff. So they're that kind of, you know, scientist. So that kind of scientist isn't as appreciated these days. You know.
That's why also the theory of evolution is ridiculous. Mm. First of all, it's atheistic, mm-hmm. which destroys the whole, because if one species evolves from the other without God being involved in the process,
right,
that already, you know, cuts all the how you say, the spiritual part of any being.
Yes.
The way. Mm-hmm. So it means you can deal with it as a matter, as a dead matter, as a dead substance. Mm-hmm. Also, like you explained in the Satkaryavada, if the effect isn't the cause, means they're in the mud, in that, however you call that species, the original...
The protozoa, I think. Is that the smallest protozoas? Or the when the lightning hit the primordial soup, and then you got the first living entity that then split...
One cell.
You didn't see it at the beginning of Lucy, they had that whole... They depicted that whole thing.
Amoeba.
We call it amoeba. I don't know.
Okay, yeah, but it's one cell.
One cell.
Amoebas are one cell?
Just everything evaporated mind. It's a single-celled amoeba, something like that.
Okay, I think we call it protozoa.
Protozoa is a name I also remember.
Not because proto means original. The protozoa. Zoa, I think the zoite or something means to do with the life or something.
Well, whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
The Satkaryavad, if we take this approach, even materialistic approach, means they in that one cell were all the species, including human species of life.
Yeah.
And this doesn't make like any sense.
Yeah, yeah.
But you see the effect, it's got to be in the cause. Where is it in the cause? Show me.
Yeah.
Scientifically, show me where
is it. Yeah, yeah. But that in the same line as they say, all the matter in the universe was in one infinitesimal spot. And then it exploded. And we know if we just take a little bit, if I take this much carbon, only, it means probably not even that much, probably this much carbon. Carbon? Carbon, the number, no?
Six.
Number six of the elements.
We're not in that line.
Okay. it's like your pencil. You know, the black stuff that writes, that's carbon. After you, what do you call it? Burn the fuel, you end up with carbon. Okay. So you take a little bit, I don't know how much it is, but you take that and you put it into this machine that compresses it.
You get the bone.
No, first you get a diamond. Like that. So artificial diamonds, that's how they do it. They just take some karma, put it in the machine, it presses really hard. So basically all you pay for is electricity. You know, how much it took to press that, you know, and pay for the machine. And then after that, that's why they're so cheap. Right? Now you press it down to there. But so why didn't it turn into a diamond? You know? Unless that's what Pink Floyd was talking about. You know, in the song about the diamond. So, and then somehow or another, that explodes, as if diamonds ever explode. Right? You put, let's say we put a pile of stuff, we put a bomb under that, right? Like some explosive. And we blow it up. When you come back, there's going to be nothing. But if we put a pile of diamonds and under that we put explosives and it blows up, then you're just going to find diamonds stuck into everything. You know, nothing will happen to the diamonds. So how this works, so that kind of brain that can accept the Big Bang can accept that, you know, everything's in that one little protozoa, you know. So that's the problem. That's what we were saying in the beginning. The basis of the whole academy is completely fallacious. But they use an intellectual process on it and then claim we're intellectuals. You know? Yeah. Now, the interesting one thing is there is that because we say that, you know, it's completely wrong. It's not completely wrong because its basis will be on the Vedic facts and figures. Like Prabhupada says, the Darwin's theory comes from the Puranas. They're talking about the jiva going through these species. He just removed, as you said, removes the jiva. And then say, but then how do you get this progression unless it's how it goes? But we know dead matter has no need. So why would the protozoa decide to have fins and all that to flip around and all that? Because they say, oh, because it was a need. But if it's a need, I need money. Why aren't I growing money? Why is it my hands? I could just, you know, money comes out, or you know, or how do you do the thing?
Maybe the environment is not conducive.
No, the need is not that good.
Okay.
If you really need it, you drop it, you don't need it.
Okay, so it's also I'm sitting there and guys are, me said, I'm running along, there's a whole tribe of, you know, what do you call it, you know, whatever it is behind me, and I run up to the edge of the cliffs. I really need wings. You know, and so then because I have that little thing like this transform, suddenly in my hand will be a Red Bull or something, right? And then I drink that, then I can fly off. No, isn't that how it
then
works?
You feel you're flying until you hit the ground.
So like Wile E. Coyote kind of thing. And then you get up, dust yourself off, and make a new plan.
Another point Bhaktivedanta Maharaj makes, because he's from that kind of background.
Oh, he's biology.
Biochemistry.
Okay.
And so he says, even that, if they take the theory of Big Bang, it is explained in the Veda, it is explained in the Bhagavatam, in the primary creation, because that glance of Mahavishnu,
mm-hmm.
that's all the compressed energy,
mm-hmm.
and then when it connects with, because it's you know, it's a Sada Shiva.
Mm-hmm.
When it connects with the Prakriti,
mm-hmm.
then there's a bang. So it is there. So the guessing is not completely wrong.
No, there's something on it. It's just that, you know, it's been a few lifetimes and because of the atheism. Also you have is that how when they show the how the Big Bang works, it comes out in a parabolic kind of like it comes out, the infinitesimal point, and then it comes up in this cone, like that. But you see then with Garbhodaksha Vishnu, he has his navel, and then comes the lotus, which is all the ingredients.
Yes, the form also.
Yeah, so they, all these little things are there in the background, but the point is they completely speculate on it, so it makes it completely useless. And then they fight against actually the original. You say, no, this is what you're talking about is originally here. No, that's bogus. This is, what do you mean you're talking about? So they've only accepted the use of basically the jnana shakti, because as you see is that when you're dealing with the just straight mechanics, they don't accept the mood, the attitude, or anything like that, or relationships. It's just you're going to do. Those who have more understanding include the relationships and the goal, so they get more. But you see, scientists, most of them can't actually accomplish something. They can work on their theories and do enough to check in that it works, but very few can actually produce something. Right? So that's it. Somebody else who's smart enough comes along and then sees how their theory works. And then they do something with it. So,
yeah.
You know, so it's a big difficulty that by conditioning, we particularly focus on the jnana and kriya aspects, leave out Krishna as the icha and put ourselves there. So we can't actually understand anything. That's why it said, what Mataji was pointing out, is that it's only by revelation you understand the whole thing together. By mechanics you can understand a little bit, but still Krishna is giving you the intelligence. But even putting that aside, that you're going to analyze and only come up to a certain amount of understanding. But you can only actually understand when you know why it's there, because it's Krishna's desire. So only when you see anything in context of Krishna can you actually understand the reality of what it is. You cannot understand otherwise. Otherwise, or why is it that today they say, yes, this is the theory, this is the absolute truth, and then, you know, after a few years they say, oh yeah, that wasn't quite right. Now this is, yeah. They've been doing that for a long time. You know, at some point, because if you have a theist and they find some fault, oh, you throw the whole thing out. But someone in the modern science, you find this, but no, they don't throw it all out. Because they have faith in the process and that. They just don't have faith that the goal is someone else's control or someone else's need, not ours. They don't want to acknowledge that I'm doing this work for someone else's benefit. It's got to be for mine. Even though everything you look at, we're servants. You know? Yes?
This is also why it is impossible for scientists to understand Bhagavatam.
Mm.
Because Vyasadeva, it is in the Bhagavatam itself, he saw it in his trance, the whole thing. And it's just beyond the ability to see that, you know, the whole thing at once. And then it is explained also that the Shukadeva Goswami, while he was explaining the whole thing to Maharaj Parikit, he actually saw it. So it's not a difficulty. What you see, you just explain, and because it's very vivid picture. So this is the path of revelation. So they realize something very narrow, and then they play with it. But that frame of reference, they can be like never.
No. So that's so what we're seeing here is the doubts come up because of not actually understanding Krishna's position, the Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. Because the thing is, they take it, it's all separate things, everything separate. But it's actually one Swayam Bhagavan who expands in so many different aspects. And as he expands, as he has his place, means you're going to have, Brahman means the place. Paramatma means the energies and how they're used to affect results. And the result is for pleasing Bhagavan. You know? So the Dham is actually, it's coming up, no? Basically, that's Brahman. Krishna has his effulgence, but you see it actually spiritual is Brahman. So it's all there. That's why we say it's just the situation. Everybody makes it, oh, it's a goal. No, it's not. It's a situation.
So one group understands relationship, but they don't consider the field. Mm-hmm. The other group, they understand the field, but they don't want to bring relationship into that field.
It complicates.
It's
like... Yeah. Or even they do deal with the action, they don't want to complicate it by qualities. Other than the mechanical qualities, this is hard, this is soft, that they don't want to think that if I have this kind of attitude, I'll get it better. If I control my senses and do this and focus on this and give up attachment, they don't want to get into that.
Nowadays, it's also a very big problem, even in Vaishnav education, that, you know, everything is taken out of context. And the education.
No, so we're on air again?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So the point is that you've been exposed to this knowledge, and that then qualifies you for the degree. And so that's fine as long as it's under, you know, it's appreciated that, you know, that's all the more you're going to get. But at the same time, as then in the Vedic education, what about manana and nididhyasana? So therefore, when they talk about knowledge, skills, and values, they're only talking about the field. They're not actually talking about the application of it in Krishna consciousness. You take it. There may be some little touch of it, but how you're going to apply that and all that is going to be... It's going to be difficult because the values are realization. If I'm presenting you with the value, if I'm saying pure devotion and anyabhilashita shunyam, you know, jnana karma adhyanavritam, if I'm saying like that, okay, that's a value that we don't know about, we're being presented. But if I'm presenting, no, we all have to be equal, we have to be nice to each other, we have to be this and that, but I'm not showing how it goes back to the shastra, how it goes back to the devotional service. I've only presented you the field of social, political values that are present today and that I agree with. So it's not actually a working model. Because manana means you have removed the doubts, you're starting to apply it, and from that, there you get the understanding in manana, not in Shravana. If the mistake is made, I will understand in Shravana, then I'll apply it. No. By application only you understand it. And that, by doing for some time, then you get realization. And unless it's being done to please Krishna, how you get realization in connection with Krishna consciousness? You might get a realization of the practical of how it works and how important it is in your life, but then how is that value then used in Krishna's service? So these aspects of the education, like you were saying, are not appreciated. Yeah, not appreciated or not being used or not being applied. So Shravana is only as much as you heard to memorize and that you can write the exam. But not necessarily enough to remove doubts. Otherwise, as you said, that one teacher is teaching Bhagavad Gita. Then when he gets to the 18th chapter and somebody says, you know, now I've taught you everything and all this, and the boy still has a doubt about, you know, Arjuna's crisis in the first chapter, that's not the actual standard. And then the teacher says, well, actually, yeah. You know, Arjuna was right in the first chapter, you know. So that means the teacher has no understanding, let alone value. So how can the students have? You know, unless the student themselves is hearing from someone who has that value. And so in here, just as is they're hearing, talking about Krishna, and then from that, then they see what's the actual standard. So someone else could, because they have good association, they could go to that class and get spiritual benefit. Because they're understanding everything in the context of how they've been taught by their person. And they're just going to this for the degree. But otherwise, then, you know, what's the big deal? Because the person's intellectual, because he's done it, because he's passed the teacher's training, that makes him qualified. On that platform, that means any karmi teacher in the world is qualified to teach our course. If they simply go through, I take a karmi, they know nothing about Krishna consciousness, they go through the 10 days of the course, you know, whatever it is, or the 3 months and all that, they just, all you have to do is, if you tell them, all you have to do is memorize these things and be able to write the exams. These are the kind of exams you're going to write. So you need to know all these facts and figures and who did who and who said what. And, you know, karmis are smart enough to do that, and then you get the degree. So now they're qualified? Someone has to look at it. No, unless there's a change in heart, unless there's an improvement, an advancement, then what was the point of the course? Because it says bhakti shastri means you see shastra according to bhakti. So that means you appreciate the shastra as devotional and you see shastra according to that. Shastra chakshus means seeing according to the direction of shastra. But here's just the facts. Nice, it's about Krishna. It's always going to be a benefit. But then why say it's so important? Especially when somebody, you have a new bhakta, they're not even initiated. I've seen this. New bhakta in the temple, they run the bhakti shastri course. They say, well, we know about this one or that one. And mention senior devotees in that yatra that have been there for 20, 30 years as senior devotees. Why can't they? Oh, because they didn't do the teacher's training course and they didn't do the thing, so they're not qualified to teach. It's kind of like, and this person is? And they sincerely think they're qualified and the other one's not.
Yeah, it's like you mentioned, it's a matter of, because I actually had that conversation. I wanted to invite somebody who is highly qualified.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want to mention a name. But
no, you don't have to mention.
And then they said, well, technically he isn't. And I said, why? And whoever explained it to me, why, and that's the disciple and the guru. So the guru is not qualified.
And the disciple is
explaining why the guru is not qualified, because he didn't pass the TTC course.
Yes.
And then I said, come on, this is ridiculous. He said, well, whatever it is, that's a system. So like you're saying, it's all about the system.
Yeah, so therefore it's just about bureaucracy. Bureaucracy becomes the ultimate goal. So if the bureaucracy is running nicely, you're successful. But name me one successful institution in the world that follows that padati and is successful because of that. Just one. I don't even have to have more than one. Because there aren't any. So the only reason we go on is because of Krishna's mercy. People are devotees. They're trying to do something to please Krishna. So despite doing stuff that's absolutely on the material platform won't work, it's going on. Because ultimately Krishna's in control. And we're given an opportunity to do some service, engage ourselves in Krishna's service. So if we value bureaucracy, we're given the chance. And we're trying to do for Krishna and all that, and so yeah, like that, we do. But as far as actual organization, there isn't one in the world that can function on that. None. Or what to do. So that's another reason one should have faith in Krishna, because otherwise, why would it be going on?
Who said that? Churchill. When they came to India, the World War II.
Oh,
and
really?
They saw, yeah, I think it was in Calcutta, and he saw how the traffic was going on, and he said, there must be God. Otherwise,
now
it's all functioning.
Yes.
Okay.
That's interesting.
I think that was the Prime Minister of England.
Yeah, that was Churchill.
Churchill.
Really? Okay. Yeah, because that was the capital. Yeah. It must be God. Yeah. I mean, probably in Calcutta, with all that insanity, they probably have less accidents than anywhere else, you know.
Yeah.
In the West, you know, if it was running like that, there'd be accidents. And not only that, I guarantee that any accident that does happen is not, there's no fatalities. No one dies. I've never heard of it. I've heard people getting run over, but the vehicles themselves crashing into each other, I've never heard that it was fatal. Not in Calcutta. Maybe on the highway, but not in Calcutta.
20 kilometers per hour.
Yeah, because when you're doing 20 kilometers, you know, you can bump into anything and you'd be fine.
Yeah, I was contemplating on Indian traffic because I I'm still shocked when I'm out on the road, and it's my speculation, but I think that the Indian traffic works on instincts, not on the rules.
Yes.
Everywhere in the world, it works actually on the rules.
Yeah.
And instincts are there, of course, in a particular situation. But he is always on instincts.
Only instincts.
It's like, yeah, it's pure instincts.
Yeah, because there is no such thing as that. If I constantly blow the horn, that makes people move out of the way. It means I'll be able to drive because I blow the horn, right? If you took the horn out of the car, basically no Indian driver would be able to drive. He just wouldn't be able to function.
Once Srila Prabhupada created the horn, there's an incident. You remember that?
No.
Remember that?
Yes.
They were driving. I don't remember where, but in India, in an old ambassador.
Okay.
And Brahmananda was there, you know, like all the big guys.
Right.
And they as soon as they started moving from, you know, point A to point B.
Right.
They realized the horn isn't working.
Wow.
So they couldn't function.
Right.
They couldn't move, actually.
Right.
Because everybody was like,
yeah.
That kind of thing. So Prabhupada, I think, out of... you remember Prabhu from
the spoon, something?
I don't remember. Somehow or other, I don't remember the details, but he created the horn, or some kind of the sound.
Sound, yeah.
That would function as a horn, and they were able to go. And somebody had to use it, not the driver.
Right. Somebody else had to
use it again.
So it was the whole thing. Like, and the devotees were amazed how Srila Prabhupada is like so expert, like on the spot he conceived of this idea, and they were able to go.
Yeah, that's so far.
And Prabhupada joked that. You may see many Indians doing tomorrow because the Westerners are doing.
They're going by the show. Yeah, that's really funny. Yeah. Okay, so basically, then that was all the background on that's the mentality we're dealing with when it asks. If the form of Bhagavan called Krishna eternal place with associates in his boat, why does Bhagavatam say that by the prayers of Brahma, Narayan appeared in the world? Narayan had entered into Krishna, I mean, so Narayan's there with Krishna, avoiding Swayam Bhagavan. They didn't go to Swayam Bhagavan, who resides in Dwarka, Mathura, and Gokula. The Devatas went to Narayan to make the request. And why did Krishna successfully give up Mathura for Gokul, Gokul for Mathura, Mathura for Dwarka, and then ascend to Vaikuntha, if all these are eternal? And if he's Swayam Bhagavan, and like that. So, here is the answer. Swayam Bhagavan, Krishna, who resides eternally in his abodes, who is supreme, is generally invisible to Brahma and others. The Purusha Narayana on the milk ocean, a form of Vishnu, is visible to the Devatas directly or as an Amsa. Right, so either he is available, you can see Vishnu to the Devatas, right, because they're in the mode of goodness and they're doing work for the Supreme Lord, right, managing the universe, so they're doing some service. Either he himself or as an Amsha. It is said that he protects the universe. The leaders of the universe, headed by Brahma, should request him alone concerning affairs of the universe. Thus they requested him to remove the burden of the earth. Right? So Krishna is not visible to them because that takes pure bhakti. And so the apricot pastimes are going on, so in Dwarka and everything eternally. But they can't see. They can only, their access is only to Narayan. And besides that, Narayan's the one who protects the universe. So he's the one to go to. You know, it's just like you have some practical work to do. If you go to the prime minister, he's going to send you the person who will get it done. They're not going to get it done. But it's because of them it gets done. Right? They empower the minister, that's their area, and that minister will send you to the secretary. So you might meet the minister, or you might meet the secretary. You know? So it's just, that's just the way it works. That's why the universe works like that, because that's how God makes everything. He has his hierarchy, so you know, it's like that story Prabhupada tells about the prime minister who's some big man is waiting for him. They say, oh, he's busy right now, but he's inside playing with his grandson. You know, the country's going on and he's playing with his grandson. You know. Sayadhav Urvya Bharam Ishvareshvara Swakala Shakya Kshapayam Chared Bhuvi. All of you Devas should appear as sons and grandsons along with his eternal associates in the family of the Yadus at the proper time. So here's that point, though, as the other day we were discussing, that the Devatas should appear as sons and grandsons along with Krishna's eternal associates. So it means the associates are there, the Devatas are there. So either the Devatas are taking their position, the associates are there, or it means that these Devatas then are absorbed into these eternal associates and this and that, because that's their origin. You know. With those words and showing his hair to them, the Purusha, understanding the time of Krishna's appearance, also appeared personally. His desire to come to earth for the above reasons manifested by his entering into Krishna. Krishna's ascending to Vaikuntha was enacted by the Amsha, which had entered him previously. So Narayana, it's that Amsha, Narayan had come to take part in the pastime, enter Krishna, and that Amsha of Narayan now is going back to his position in Vaikuntha to perform his duties. Yeah. Krishna, however, invisibly continues to perform pastimes in his abode, so therefore Krishna is there. And so then it appears he leaves and goes, but at the same time, because that's still prakat, it's the ending of the prakat, you know, because everything's folding back, the demigods go back and everything, and then finally Krishna himself goes. But you see, he stays in his dham and performs his pastimes. One should study the statements of Tantra Bhagavat and Varaha Purana in this regard. Lord Madhusudan, the Supreme Lord, is eternally present in Dwarka by remembering that most auspicious of all auspicious places, one destroys all contamination. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:31-24. So does that mean Bhagavatam is known as Tantra Bhagavat?
I think Devi Bhagavat is known as Tantra Bhagavat.
Oh, okay. Because here they're quoting Bhagavatam. Mm. This intention is not understood by everyone, but the sages describe what they have personally seen. Shruti says, Samudra tira sta drishyaiva adbhuto va esha pratar udyet pa sayam pravishati. By looking from the shore of the ocean, the sun rises from the water in the morning and enters in the evening. Of course, this does not actually happen. The sun moves differently according to descriptions of the sun revolving around Meru. Why can the Lord not act differently according to the descriptions of his eternal pastimes? Right, so we see by our view the sun coming up from the ocean, or from on the other shore, the sun going down into the ocean, you know, and according to Calvin's dad, then the sun then swims around to the other side and then comes up on the other side again, you know, so that's why it's, that's the importance of, you know, going down in the water, because it's easy to swim around, otherwise you have to walk around, you know, so. So the Lord, therefore, what's described is how the sun goes around Meru. That's differently from what we're seeing. But that's the way it is. So in the same time, you see something here, the prakat, doesn't mean that the aprakat aren't going on. Does that make sense? Or even within the prakat, what we see, we may only see Krishna going, but that's Narayan going. Krishna stays. I mean, Narayan is Krishna, but he's manifesting that. What is the proportion? 96? Or I mean, you have Krishna's 100% of the qualities at 64. And then 60 qualities is, I forget if it's 92 or...
Yes, I think
92. And then Shiva, then that would be... You know, so Narayan, all the Narayan forces is at 92, then Shiva is 84, you know, percent, and then the Jivas are 78.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it's him, he's just showing that much. And so like that, he goes to back to Vaikuntha, it's not a problem. Statements about giving up Mathura and other places when he appears on earth are meant as the prakat pastimes for people in the material world. However, his aprakat pastimes exist eternally. By the obvious meaning gathered through harmonizing statements concerning his pastimes, it is understood that his birth and other events are also eternal. Krishna, who performs aprakat pastimes eternally in Dwarka, Mathura, and Gokula, becomes prakat, visible for pastimes like birth. And at that time, Narayana and others enter him. Thus, everything is harmonized. Right, so the aprakat's always going on, but then for those pastimes to manifest so that we can appreciate, you know, certain ones that aren't there, then those are, we see, and then he manifests them. Yeah? And then all the other avatars, and that they all enter him and everything like that. Therefore, Krishna's pastimes are of two types: aprakat, which are invisible to the material world, and prakat, which are visible to the material world. The following is an example of the aprakat pastimes. Yatasau samstitas Krishnas tribhi shakya samahita Raman irudha pradyumnai urukminya sahito vibahu. There, the powerful Lord Krishna resides, situated with excellent pastimes, accompanied by Balaram, Aniruddha, and Prajumna, and by a Shakti, Rukmini. Gopaltapani, Upanishad 2:36. The Mathura in Gopaltapani and the Vrindavan described in Brahma Samhita differ from the abodes of prakat pastimes. These aprakat pastimes are unmixed with material persons and material objects, and devoid of the flow of time having a beginning, middle, and end. Right, so that's, it means that it has that, you're going to have his appearance, you know, his pastimes, and then the disappearance. Like that. Well, in the aprakat, that doesn't happen. So you'd only have the pastimes. You know, so the present, that's going on, but the past and the future, that those aspects, those aren't in the aprakat. Those are manifest in the prakat, because here we see through the vision of time. So therefore, the prakat pastimes have that appearance as if they're falling within the jurisdiction of time, though they're not. In Mathura, Krishna daily enters the huge assembly as a king, and in Vrindavan, he goes out daily to herd the cows. The prakat form of Krishna, though untouched by time, like the spiritual form, is endowed with the beginning by his Swarup Shakti, influenced by his desire. So Swarup Shakti arises by his desire, so he can come and do these wonderful pastimes to attract our mind. Because in apricot, he's already attracting the minds of the eternal associates. But for those living entities in the material world, how are they going to, because they don't have through their material senses, they can't appreciate. Therefore, he comes here so that through the senses, then people can appreciate. It's like the deity. It's Krishna. But because he comes in the form of material energy, so that we can appreciate. So, Vriti, having defined the prakat and apricot pastimes, the author next elaborates them in detail. First, the two types of apricot pastimes are described. Okay, so not even just prakat and apricot, there's two types of apricot.
I'm thinking.
That doesn't mean, you know, we should get into the argument over, you know, if the peach and the apricot are different, and which one's the peach and which one's the apricot. We had that here for 3 hours once. Okay. There are two types of apricot pastimes: mantra pashana mayi and swarasiki. The mantra pashana mayi pastimes are those aroused by mantra in meditation and consist of a particular place and fixed conditions. An example is meditation on the Abhishek of the Lord using jewels found in Kramadipika. Other examples are as follows. Ata dhyanam pravakshyami sarva papa paranashanam pitambara daram krishnam pundarika nibekshanam. I will speak of meditation which destroys all sins. Krishna wears a yellow cloth and has lotus eyes. Gotamiya Tantra. Venum kvananta maravinda dalaya taksham barhavatam samishitam budasundarangam kandarpa koti kamaniya visesha shobham govindamari purusham tamahang bhajami alola chandar kala sadvara malyavam si ratnangadam pranayakeli kalavilasham shyamam tribanga lalitam niyata prakasham govindamari purusham tamahang bhajami. I worship the Supreme Lord Govinda, who plays a flute, whose eyes are like lotus petals, who wears a peacock feather on his head, whose bodily hue is attractive like a dark cloud, and whose beauty is more spectacular than that of millions of cupids. I worship the Supreme Lord Govinda, eternally manifesting his dark form curved in three places, and decorated with jeweled armbands, a flute, and a swinging flower garland shining like the moon. Brahma Samhita 5.30.31. Govindam manasa jayet gavam madhye stitam subham barha pidaka samyuktam venu varana tatparam gopi janai parivritam man vanya pushpa vatam shakam. One should meditate in the mind on beautiful Govinda. Situated among cows, he has a peacock feather on his head and plays a flute. He is surrounded by gopis and has a crown made of forest flowers. Karma vipaka prayaschita smriti of Bodhayana. What is Bodhayana?
Bodhayana is a rishi's name, I think, Maharaj.
Oh, okay. Okay. Brahma spoke to them. The form of Krishna wears the dress of a cowherd. He has the complexion of a cloud. He is youthful and sits under a desire tree. By meditating with concentration on two-armed, lotus-eyed, silent Krishna, having the complexion of a cloud, with cloth flashing like lightning, wearing a garland, surrounded by cowherds, gopis, and cows, bedecked with shining ornaments, while sitting under a desire tree on a jeweled lotus served by a breeze mixed with water drops from the Yamuna, one becomes liberated from samsara. Gopal Tapani Upanishad 1:8-11. Oh, this is from that. Yeah, the, we use that in the what do you call it? The puja, no? Mm-hmm.
Bodhayana is from Krishna Yajurveda, and it consists of Shauta Sutras, Shulva Sutras, and then rituals.
Oh, okay. So then in that, then there's a point where they meditate on Krishna, mm-hmm. doing their technical rituals. Hmm. Well, even they have to. Govindam sat chit ananda vigraham. I eternally satisfy Govinda, a form of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Gopal Tapani Upanishad 1:33. O Lord, you are approached by being heard about, seen, and directly served. Enter and remain in the lotus of your. You, who are approached by being heard about, seen, and directly served, enter and remain in the lotus of your devotees' hearts, infused with bhakti yoga. Such praise, much praised Lord, by your mercy, you bestow to them spiritual bodies appropriate to the mood they cultivate during sadhana. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:9-11, Rudriti, Srila Prabhupada. The statement here is that the Lord manifests himself before the devotee in the form in which the devotee likes to worship him, indicates that the Lord becomes subordinate to the desire of the devotee, so much so that he manifests his particular form as the devotee demands. This demand of the devotee is satisfied by the Lord because he is pliable in terms of the transcendental loving service of the devotee. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4:11. Ye yatamam prapadyante tamstadaiva bhajami aham. We should note, however, that the Lord is never the order supplier of the devotee. Right? So, means in the mood that the devotee, but that's the mood he wants to serve him in. And that, in other words, in that form, Krishna is accepting his service. But not that it's, no, Krishna should be like this and this. He's not the order supplier. Because he's still, it's about him. He is, it's his Icha Shakti. It is his desire. So, here in this verse it is particularly mentioned, tam bhakti yoga pari bhavit, pari bhavita. This indicates the efficiency achieved through execution of mature devotional service, prema, love of Godhead. This state of prema is achieved by the gradual process of development from faith to love. On faith, one associates with bona fide devotees, and by such association, one can become engaged in bona fide devotional service, which includes proper initiation, the execution of the primary devotional activities prescribed in the revealed scriptures. This is clearly indicated herein by the word shutekshita. The shutekshita path.
Just take it.
Okay. Yes, I was thinking, how come it doesn't tell where it was from? It is to hear from bona fide devotees who are conversant with Vedic wisdom, free from mundane sentiment. By this bona fide hearing process, the neophyte devotee becomes cleansed of all material rubbish, and thus he becomes attached to one of the many transcendental forms of the Lord as described in the Vedas. This attachment of the devotee to the particular form of the Lord is due to natural inclination. Each and every living entity is originally attached to a particular type of transcendental service because he is eternally the servitor of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya says that the living entity is eternally a servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Therefore, every living entity has a particular type of service relationship with the Lord eternally. This particular attachment is invoked by the practice of regulative devotional service to the Lord, and thus the devotee becomes attached to the eternal form of the Lord, exactly like one who is already eternally attached. This attachment for a particular form of the Lord is called Surup Siddhi. The Lord sits on the lotus heart of the devotee in the eternal form the pure devotee desires, and thus the Lord does not part from the devotee as confirmed in the previous verse. Interesting is Surupsiddhi here is also is the attachment to the particular form. Because generally this Hajjis is about my form. You know, it's not actually about Krishna's form. Of course it's about, you know, Radha and Krishna, but it's about their form. But actually it's about the form of Krishna that you are worshipping. Then your rati has meaning, because your relationship with Krishna is based on your attachment, your rati. So it has to be about the form of Krishna you're meditating on. Then that rati is directed towards that form. Then your form, your surup, has meaning. Otherwise you just have a form, but it's not based on service to Krishna. Then what's the meaning? You know what I'm saying? They'll say, no, but we do service, but it's about me doing service. It's not about service being for Krishna. So it's not actual surupsiddhi, because surupsiddhi means it's about the surup of Krishna. Which surup? Therefore, then you're going to have a particular form. Like Mother Jashoda means this Brahma Samhita, that I think it's 555. Yes. So because she has that a rati of a parental affection, therefore she has that form. It's said there in the verse. So if you don't have that, then what's the meaning of your surup? So therefore, that rati is directed towards a form of Krishna. So unless you have that meditation and that form of Krishna, and you're absorbed there, that rati develops, that attachment, then what's the meaning of having surup? Even if you have surup, you can't enter the pastimes. So it's apandas unless you have that attachment, unless it's exclusive on Krishna. That's the point. Before apandas, it may not be exclusive, or it's not exclusive. That's why gopis could go to the rasa dance when Krishna played the flute, which couldn't. Who had that exclusive affection for Krishna and who didn't? It was Krishna and, you know, as I mentioned, Krishna and household duties, the children, this, that. Krishna's there because when he played the flute, they want to go. But it wasn't exclusive. So when those who were meditating on Krishna burned up all the pious and impious results of their activities, so it could be, and it became exclusive, then they could go. So it's actually reversed. So that makes it also a very easy description of the thing. When people start talking about their form and this and that, but what's the form of Krishna that this goes towards? Because you say, I want to change around, but what's the form of Krishna? Because Krishna reciprocates the love of the devotee. So that means you're changing forms of Krishna?
Yeah. On a philosophical level, it sounds like trying to separate the cause from the effect.
Mm.
Or trying to switch, like that's what Sahajiyas do.
Yes.
Instead of understanding that Krishna is the cause and we are the effect. So
right.
We exist only in connection with him.
Yes,
effect without the cause doesn't have any meaning.
Yes.
They say, no, we define everything.
Yeah. But we're the cause.
Yeah, we're the cause and he is the effect. So the relationship we have, it's the effect from our cause.
Mm-hmm.
But this is...
material.
Yeah,
it's avidya.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I also wonder, I mean, now it makes more sense for Srila Prabhupada in this, you know, being part of the morning program, the Govinda prayers. And you've read those two verses, the mm-hmm. Prabhupada, in between that verse, Alola Chandra Kalasat, but then Prabhupada, Venum Vanandam and Angani Yasya Sakalendra, he dropped that verse in the middle for whatever reason it is. And it's both of those verses are mantra mayupasana, as it mentioned here.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like contemplating, you know, for quite some time, why Prabhupada choose those verses? Not other verses which are more vividly show the Svarasiki
mm-hmm.
upasana, but now it kind of makes sense. I don't know because
you have to see is particular form and particular situation with particular associates, you know, like that, and then only can you get the whole thing, because otherwise you're not. How you will see, because Krishna means, his sarup means all that's there. So unless all that's there, because otherwise we'll meditate just on Krishna himself. But then the point is where's everything else? Because Swarasiki means pastimes are running.
Yeah.
But here, you know, we're just trying to get used to just Krishna in that, you know. In other words, name, form, qualities, pastimes, associates, paraphernalia, dham, like that, are all together. That's the mantra upasana.
Yeah.
You know, so then we see that, because the swarasiki means all that's going on. So you can...
It's dynamic.
It's dynamic.
It's not stationary.
Yeah.
Because I never heard anybody except you speak about it, and also in a very, you know, specific context, except for one other devotee. Nobody basically talks about it.
Yeah. Because we're always going to automatically take everything as swarasiki. You know, and because I want, therefore I get, and therefore it's the manner, you know, like this. But as I mentioned there, now you please Krishna. How you want to serve Krishna, that's how he shows himself to you. So that's why it's so important to follow in the footsteps. Because the thing is who's going to, what form or mood of Krishna is going to manifest to us? What service can we render? You know, so, but the point is Braja Krishna, that mood is because of Radharani, right? And then Radharani has her assistance, and if we, and they have their assistance, so if we assist the Vaishnava serving Srila Prabhupada, serving the previous acharyas headed by Srila Rupa Goswami, serving Srimati Radharani, then that aspect of Krishna's Braja Krishna, then that can be the form we can see. That means we have that service. We want to serve them because they manifest. Means he manifests that mood to reciprocate with them, not with us. So therefore, Braja Krishna is Radharani's. So therefore, you have to sit. Just like in Vaikuntha, Narayan is Lakshmi. So you have to assist Lakshmi. You know, you want to see Ram, you have to assist Sita. So if you want Braja Krishna, then you have to associate, you have to serve there. So it's you know, it means that we're not, so we want to keep it that it's my, I'm in control and I'm going to enjoy this. Rather than, no, Krishna's in control, he's going to enjoy it, and then because of connecting with him, that's going to be the ultimate happiness.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare